Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, complete recording, December 6, 2016.
Everyone's still here except for Dave. Can I get a motion to approve minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Minutes are approved. Go. Let's see the PowerPoint from here. Or the screen's above my head.
Okay, the first item is a 2015-16 financial overview. So what I'm going to do is give you a snapshot of how we ended last year. This is normally the time that we talk about this, even though June 30th was the end of our fiscal year. We had to go through our audit process. We're in the process of finalizing the audit. I did see drafts, so they'll finish those up and they will be presenting at the January meeting. There's also a conflict with them presenting at this meeting tonight. So I did want to put it out there though. So if you take a look at the first page, it shows our statement of revenues and expenditures. The reason it's in this format is because this is the requirement when we file our AFR. On how it gets presented. So revenues are always in the format that you're used to, local, state, and federal. I also included budget numbers so that you can see a comparison of how we ended. As you can see, on the revenue side, we ended at 107,884,358, which exceeded our budgeted amount of 103. There were a couple factors that landed why we ended this way, and it's going to be on the next slide, so I'll talk about it more. I just want to go through the numbers real quick. Just an explanation on the expenditure side. Instruction is very self-explanatory. That is all the line items that go into teaching and learning. So it's classroom instruction, it's special ed instruction. Support services, and this gets confusing because a lot of people always think this is Dr. Bobby's line item. Support services are what they call the function that starts with a 2, the 2000. So it's pupil services, it's library services, it's the business office, it's the superintendent's office, it's support, it's facilities. So all those offices or those areas that support students in education but don't have a direct impact on instruction are classified as support services. Operation of non-instructional services are your athletics, your student activities, the class program. Facility acquisition, construction, and improvement services, those are building improvements. If you remember in our general fund budget in 15-16, we actually put money in to do improvements at Cedar Brook. So that's what that represents. And then all your other expenditures and financing uses, those are transfers. That's your debt service, transfers into other funds. So you can see that we ended with a surplus of $1.2 million and some change. And if you look at the next slide, some highlights. So where we have some increased revenues that was anticipated. One of the things with real estate taxes, if you guys, if you all remember when I did my presentation for 16-17, one of the things I'm trying to do is align our collection rate. In the past, our collection rate was a little bit lower. We've been experiencing a higher collection rate. So the last 3 years of getting good numbers and trends, our collection rate keeps going up. So we collected more taxes than anticipated. Another piece to that is that we're having some assessment appeal stipulations come through that are favorable to the district, so that does have an impact on our real estate taxes. Our real estate transfer taxes, we finished about $600,000 higher than anticipated. This is one of those numbers that you can do a trend on, and you can just have a year that you don't sell houses within the township. so that number can come over. So I'm very conservative when I budget this number, but we experienced a high real estate transfer revenue number in 15-16. The other,
I'm asking brief questions to go along. I'll be brief. Was $600,000 due largely to some outliers, some like big properties that sold?
Yes, there was. I can get you which properties exactly sold. I'm working in 16-17 right now with our assessment appeals, so going back to 15-16, I'll have to dig back and see what funds are. Yes. So the other piece, if you remember, the budget impasse from the state was happening in 15-16. So one of the things, because we were unsure of what was going to happen, the budget reflected levels of funding for state allocations from 14-15. One of the things that happened is once the budget did pass and got resolved, that those numbers went up. So we experienced more money than we actually had budgeted for the state revenues. We also received PlanCon subsidy because that money got released. And then our transportation subsidy also increased. You're going to see on the other side of the expenditures, though, that increased for a reason because our actual spend increased in transportation. So on the other side, flip side of the expenditure side of where we went over on budget was the transportation section. Some of that has largely to do with the routing challenges due to current Cedarbrook configuration. Once that building is back in one, then we're going to have a lot easier time and more efficient routing with those Cedarbrook routes. Also, there was an increase in special education transportation. One of the things that I really dug into last year and this year was looking at that. Our IU transportation came in a little bit higher. We had anticipated it going down. However, when you take a look and you start digging into some of the students that have to be transported, there are some high-cost students that require transportation. There's really, really nothing that you can do to change that when you have high-cost special ed students in your district. So the same thing with special education. There was some increase in special education service, which also included the IU services. Okay, so like I said, there was an increase, which is a net change in our fund balance of $1,244,000, some change. So you'll see that our fund balance at the beginning of the year was $16.4 million. So that increases our fund balance at the end of the year to $17,687,000, some change. I broke down what that looks like. So if you remember the classifications of fund balance, non-spendable, those are very self-explanatory. Those are really things that we can't spend. It's inventory, but it has a cash value or a fund balance value. So we have inventory and prepaid expenses. If you remember, we committed, and this is a done through board action, before June 30th of last year, we committed $4.4 million to capital projects. And we also put money aside to supplement our 16-17 budget. The money for assigned is building improvements, and that is where I put money into from our increase of $1.2 million from the surplus that we had for 15 and 16. That does not require board approval. We can always change this around through board approval. This year it just has to be done by June 30th. To reflect in the next year audit. I also made assigned about 6.5%. If you remember, we have a board policy.
Unassigned.
We have a board policy that we like to keep our unassigned balance between 6 and 8%. We can't go over 8%, that's state law. So it's coming in around 6.5% right now. So I want to have a quick conversation about cash balance versus fund balance. Cash balance does not equal fund balance. This gets confusing for people sometimes because you think that, you know, our cash balance is just money sitting in the bank, and that's exactly what our fund balance is, and it doesn't mean the same thing. So cash balance is the amount of cash and investments that are held by a fund at any given time. It's an asset. Fund balance is the balance remaining after assets have been used to meet its liabilities. I use this kind of analogy to it. Think about your personal checking account. You have money in there. If you have checks that are written, your fund balance is that balance after you get rid of all the checks that you have clear. So that kind of gives you an understanding. So there could be a time where our cash balance is higher than our fund balance, but we have obligations that we still have to meet. So that doesn't give a true picture, but fund balance really tells you our stability and where we're at. So purpose of fund balance, gives demonstration of financial stability. It's a stabilization of budget and tax rate. It allows us to maintain favorable bond rating, and if you read through the bond report, it does identify in there that we have a healthy fund balance, and that does help with our AA- bond rating. And it provides for us for unbudgeted expenses. There again is the policy number 602 that talks about where we like our unassigned fund balance. So that's all I have on the 15-16. Financial overview. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
You get a figure on page 4. Can you explain the difference that under committed and assigned you have capital projects and building improvements? Building improvements, capital projects are stuff that you're going to be doing if you're capital. Right, so a new school.
Yes, different capital projects or major projects like construction projects. It would be talking about a renovation. It would be talking about a major building. Building improvements could be putting new carpeting down somewhere. But it could also be a renovation type thing. So building improvements has a little bit more flexibility on the types of improvements that you're doing to the building.
Well, because the building, normal building improvements are capital.
Correct.
So with that, and I can go back to the analogy, I can go back to some previous conversations that the funds identified here, whether they're labeled as capital projects or building improvements, are the funds that we can use to support the renovations that are proposed to take place for the 4 classrooms and near future the gym. Yeah, I'm asking you this. Are those the two areas where you're going to need money? and to clarify Rathaus' statement, or help me better understand that either of those projects may fall that we just talked about earlier within those two line items.
Yes, I always say with those type of projects, we have really 3 pots of money. You have bond issuances, which we just did a bond issuance, and we there was additional funds specifically for EP and the high school. It wasn't identified which projects, but those were the uses for it with the extra money. We also have $10 million sitting in capital reserve, which that can be used for these type of projects. And then your other resource that you have is fund balance. I would, once you map out kind of the plan on where we're going with capital improvements, I would say fund balance would be the last place that we use, but it is a resource that we could use for those types of projects.
One other thing, also when you're talking about maintaining a decent fund balance, part of the benefits of that from history is that you don't have to pay insurance on
It's part of it. I mean, it goes along with your rating. I mean, it's more your rating than the insurance piece.
Rating and how much you have more as a capital reserve than fund balance. And it's not, it generally wouldn't be a requirement. It becomes more of a trade-off, right? So if the financial community really wanted you to have a large reserve and you don't, and they said, okay, well, then either, give me 4% interest or give me 3.5%, but have something set aside. You then kind of make that trade-off, but yeah. Any other board questions?
Okay, so the next topic is 2017-18 budget discussion. So I just want to kind of recap that after the last legislative board meeting, the board approved the opt-out resolution. which basically commits that school property taxes will not be increased more than 2.5%, which is the index for 17-18. Quick discussion about our millage history, talk about our budget development for revenue and expenditures, and talk about some key dates. So this gives you a history of our millage rate and kind of where we started and how we are as of this point in time. So you'll see in 2007-08 through 2010-11, there were some high spikes in increases for millage rate. Happy to say, since that time, we've kind of brought that down and we've stabilized that a lot. So there were 2 years that we had no tax increase. The years that have the asterisk by it indicates that the tax increase was either at or below index. So over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 7 years, we've been hitting right at index or below index. So the revenue budget development. Some of the key outliers in developing the revenue budget is obviously our real estate tax revenue. That's our biggest line item when it comes to our revenue. Our estimated certified assessed value from the Montgomery County Board of Assessment Appeals for the 17 tax year was $1,860,000,000. And some change. This was a slight decrease from 16-17. When I say slight, it was very, very slight. I believe that the favorite assessment stipulations that we have will neutralize this or slightly increase this number when the actual certified number comes out. Act 1 index of 2.5% will generate an additional $2 million and some change for the district. We've continued our trend for other local revenue, which is EIT, your transfer taxes, about 2-3% of growth, so we'll continue that trend. State and federal revenue will have alignment of budgetary numbers with the 16-17 allocations. However, there have been preliminary reports, if you haven't been reading them or anything, that there's budgetary concerns at the state due to decreased revenue collections. The latest article that I read was they were about 2.5% behind collections when they did a snapshot of November against last November. And the other thing is that the 16-17 budget failed to address major issues that were raised during the 15-16 budget impasse. So they expect those to ramp back up. Also, just to highlight that fund balance will be, if it's used again as it was in 16-17, it will be used for non-reoccurring expenditures only. So what I mean by that is it's the one hits that we won't have to support the following year. The expenditure budget development. Obviously, contractual obligations with salaries and benefits. There's operation obligations, including utilities, insurance, and leases. We have technology, operational, and educational renewals. That's a lot of our software and our systems. Transportation and debt service. Strategic plan is an outline of our budget development. Year one, if you remember, we talked about exploration. Year two, we're looking at exploring the adoption of those explorations that we've had in year one. Also, taking a look at analysis of existing educational programs and what their value is, if they're value added. And finally, facility maintenance and capital expenditures. That's always a heavy hitter on the expenditure budget development. So the timeline, you've seen this, so I'll just keep repeating it so you see it. We're kind of ahead of schedule because you see in January that's when the opt-out was due, so we already did that, so we're done with that piece of it. So now we're compiling our preliminary budget data. Is the plan at the next financial affairs meeting that you will get the first look of budget for 17-18. So we're putting that together now, and we'll have that prepared in January. The next big thing that we'll have to do is we will have to approve the elected tax collector compensation in February. We will not have to adopt a preliminary budget since we did the opt-out resolution. So that step is out now. We also won't have to file referendums because since we're not going above index, then we don't apply for referendum exceptions.
I would thank you for putting together the history of the military. I think that's really helpful to see that physically in terms of where we were starting out in 2007, how much we went up, and then that really got us to the point where that's why we're at the high staff in Montgomery County. But we're doing a very good job in the last several years. So thank you very much for providing that information. Question that I have, and maybe not have the answer to this, but when I look at the expenditure budget development, and I look at the contractual obligations, which are contractual obligations, what percentage of the index do you think that
is? Good question. I anticipate that being asked. The problem right now is we didn't have direction with the teacher's contract, which is probably the biggest part of the salaries and benefits piece. So now that we do, I'll be able to better answer that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
And
then the last question, I think Mr. Conant raised this at the prior meeting in terms of the February meeting and determining the elected tax collector's compensation. And we talked about not kind of having that public meeting in terms of the conversation, but having some board discussion about what that really means before February.
So,
more fruitful.
Yes, I think Mr. Perez was actually here and we had a sidebar conversation. So we have a plan in place so that we're not doing that publicly, negotiating compensation. So that will be brought to the board after we have the discussion with the committee.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Ingram.
My question was exactly about approving the compensation for the tax collector, because for the second year in a row, our elected tax collector came here to a meeting to publicly negotiate. I'm not putting this on you whatsoever, and I know you know that. He came here in a public meeting to complain about what he's getting paid or not getting paid. So I will join you, Julie, in the question of the board should understand a little bit about what's going on here so it doesn't just fall on you. I asked him too. He and I had a sidebar conversation, and I don't get it. I've never seen anybody come into a public meeting and negotiate their compensation and their pay. I don't know what it's supposed to be or what it is or what you think it could be, but maybe it could be a discussion at an upcoming financial affairs meeting, and then maybe at some point the administration or the board has to really engage him in a conversation about why does this keep repeating itself? I it's troubling to me. It really is, and it's not on you. I
follow up on that. Anytime we're talking about this kind of thing, we say, well, what are your patterns getting paid and why? So if we came prepared for that discussion with the tax collector compensation scheme from Springfield and Abington and Bank Account, and then said to him, where's your foundation? Here's ours. That would be a good way to attempt that negotiation.
Yes. Like I said, we sidebarred before this meeting, so Mr. Nelson is on the same page. I believe Steve walked away with being on the same page that we will not be doing this in a public forum, that we need to have a conversation first.
I wouldn't want to come before a public board and negotiate what I'm getting paid.
We can make zero yet for me.
If I get double as our president, two bottles of water.
Any other?
Thank you, Ms. Mike, for the conversation.
Okay, and the last agenda item is our snapshot of where we're at right now in the budget. I did add a little footnote because this came up last time, so I think some people were like, while we spent all of our money, look at some of the things, like 97%. So I did want to put a little footnote that encumbrances are included in that. So there are some line items where I absolutely encumbered for the entire year for the known costs that we have, so that it does, it kind of shores that money up so it can't be spent. So when you see some of the higher numbers that are spent, no, we're not grossly over budget. It's where we're at in the spend and things being encumbered. So right now we're at about 75% of revenue collection overall. You'll see that about 88% of that comes from the local. That's where we're at there. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we just finished FACE with our real estate taxes, and that's where we get the majority of our money is through FACE. So money will start trickling in over penalty, but usually people wait until they end to pay that penalty because it's not going to change the amount that they have to pay. So they usually wait as long as they possibly can. On the expense side, there's really nothing that's an outlier for me that would make me say, you know, we're headed down a path of being over budget on a line item in any of the areas. I'm going to flip to the other snapshot because this does show some areas, salaries and benefits, transportation, some of the cyber charter schools. You'll see the 82%, those are ones that are uncovered. So for the ones that we know that we have students at charter schools, we do cover that for the entire year.
I have one question, one short request. The next time you do this, on the red, I don't care about on the expenditure side because that's variable, but on the revenue side, I think it would be important to understand if we're ahead of year to date from last year.
Okay.
Because that, I just want to know if we're going to have more to spend.
Okay.
I know we're going to spend what you think we're going to spend, but I don't know if we're going to have more than we thought because that.
Okay.
And I think the poo-poo is expensive for that property. It should be looked at also.
that's funnier because there's some accrual that we can't see in year to date. But that's not true of revenue.
Fair, I still want to see expenses.
Yeah, exactly.
And also recognizing that, again, there's going to be variations for each year between through. If you just forgot on what percentage of the year we're through in terms of months, so if I were through, let's say, if we're through month 5, it represents X percent of the year. Okay.
Since like for the tuition for the cyber charter schools and tuition for other, I know that you said we basically budget that. Is there any variation in that for any student within the school year that may be added to a cyber charter or other?
It could possibly be, yes. Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's the hard part with cyber and charter schools when you're budgeting for that is you can go on history and trend, but that's a number that you can't really control. If you have 10 more students that decide to go to a charter school the following year, you can't really control that number. Best you can do is at least try to look at trend in history and see the number of students that are going and see if you can build a cushion in the following year, but at minimum budget with, you know, for the number of students that you had in the previous year.
At any one time, there could be an additional 5 students that decided to go to a charter school and you never anticipated that and the trend didn't see it.
By the way, just for reference here, when we talked before about cash versus fund balance, for example, here there's about $35 million that would be in cash just because we've collected 80, we've only spent 45. So it's outside of the fund balance and capital reserves. We're in that state. Any other? Hold it.
Hello.
That's a great goal.
This concludes this school board recording.
This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.